Either the heating system is complaining because it's working so hard, or it may be commentary on just how cold it is. This sermon has a very simple but very difficult message. Faith is a social practice, but one that requires solitude. In the second chapter of Genesis, we read, "It is not good for man to be alone." And then in the book of Daniel, "I was left alone and saw the great vision." Sometimes society, sometimes solitude. Sometimes it's not good to be alone. Sometimes we need to be left alone to see what God has for us to see. I mean, think about it for a minute. How often are you really intentionally cut off from all the outside influences and are genuinely alone? It's a commodity you can get, but only at a very high price. So why is it that so many of us suffer from desperate loneliness while we live busy lives? Surrounded by others and defined by professions and careers and expectations, for many of us there is absolutely no time left for private time. Yet genuine community, especially during the pandemic, also escapes us. There is no private time, but neither is there any bonding. Binding moments that give us a sense of being a genuine part of something larger than ourselves. Some organism that's bigger than we are. We have no alone time. We have no communal time. We have no one-on-one time. We have no one another time. We have only designated time, the moments of our lives divvied up between the demands and filling in the spaces of other people's equally crowded schedules. Sometimes I think it only takes a strong wind to demonstrate how strained and artificially structured our lives have become. This past year has been one of the most difficult in memory. All of a sudden we were cut off. As the isolation now continues, we get increasingly antsy. So much of our regular lives have been taken away during this year. What are we supposed to do? We look for diversions to keep our minds off the sudden isolation. We don't know quite what to do with this sudden new community we find ourselves living in. The community of the people in our living room. The extremes of solitude and society have always been crucial poles that have kept our souls and our psyches in equilibrium. Exclude one of those poles and everything in life gets bumped askew. Jesus welcomed his friends, his disciples, and the crowds who followed with a wholehearted embrace. He rose early and worked late in order to meet the needs of these people. A community of the curious and the committed, the hopers and the hangers-on. They were always around him, always changing. In today's gospel text, a simple, inconsequential healing is detailed. Simon's mother-in-law is miraculously healed of a fever by Jesus' touch. It's really a very minor event in Jesus' ministry, but it's significant enough to Simon Peter, to his mother-in-law, and to the other disciples present, that this healing should become a part of the written legacy of Jesus' life and ministry. Equally important was what Jesus did after the healing. There was no big celebration. There was no great parade of healed women or festival of gratitude. Instead, Jesus chose to come apart by himself. He got up before sunrise. And in the darkness of the pre-dawn, he chose to get away from the settled neighborhoods of Capernaum. and go out to the undeveloped wilderness of the nearby countryside. And there he spent time alone in prayer. Time alone and in solitude, in prayer. Those three practices became hallmarks of devotion over the next few centuries. Pagan religions had almost always required an audience of some sort. Sacrifices, offerings, festivals, pilgrimages. Humans coming together to acknowledge the greatness of the deity. But Christianity claimed a different turf early on. Following Jesus' own example of coming apart, Christians were seeking solitude as a better way of finding Christ. At the same time, communities of the faithful were being established and communal prayers were being offered to bind and bring souls together. Soon, the hermits and cave dwellers and monks and nuns were devoted to a cloistered existence. But other spiritual disciples found fulfillment in the communal faith. I think each of us needs to find a rhythm between our solitary life and our social life. The whole life of Jesus was a swing between the socialness and the solitude. Jesus didn't retreat from the crowds in order to indulge in me time. Jesus sought the solitude and the one-on-one relationship with the Father out in the deserts and the mountains and by the sea. One of our worst mistakes is to confuse solitude with solitariness. When Jesus sought out solitude, he took the weight of the world with him. And he laid its cares and concerns at the feet of the Father. For Jesus, solitude with the Father was essential. It was, if you notice, when you read the scripture, it was after Jesus' greatest successes, his miraculous healings, the feeding of the 5,000, that he sought the solace of personal prayer. And when Jesus returned to society, it was with a re-energized message, a clearer understanding of his mission in the world. The coming of the kingdom, the message of repentance, the nearness of the fulfillment of God's purpose was at the heart of Jesus' word to the world. This is the message that Jesus would communicate to the whole of Judea and Galilee, to all of God's people. While we're challenged to be physically together these days, we can unite our souls as we gather here at the Lord's table. For at that table, we affirm the importance of our individual relationships with God. And at the same time, we unite our souls as the body of Christ in the world. Shall we pray? Loving and gracious God, you gather us together to be the church of the world. The new covenant you have written on our hearts ties us to you through the mystery and beauty of Jesus Christ. We are a people who belong to you, connected and yet free. We're free to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit. Free to be the people you have created us to be. Free to love you as one. We are Christ's body and we seek to serve you and your people faithfully. Walking willingly where Christ's feet would go. Speaking freely as his lips would proclaim. Working tirelessly as his hands would shape and mold. Centered around Christ, Lord, may we grow ever closer to his living presence. And in doing so, may your glory be visible in this world. We are your pilgrim people, O Lord, And we want to worship you in a way that is pleasing and true to you. May the light of Christ shine brightly among us, that as we work to be your people, all may know of your love and your goodness. It is in Christ we pray. Amen.